Good to be together this morning. Seems like there's an extra dose of energy among us this morning. I'm really grateful for the lively singing and worshiping and remembering Christ in that Lord's Supper. And we had a good time together. All the adults were in here looking at the classes and kind of the agenda that the Education Committee has added to, kind of a new initiative, trying to help us learn how to live our vision that we talked about last week. You remember our vision, it can be just said so simply, but it's packed with power and cost and life. And that is, we are here, the Southwest Church is here to make disciples through relationships. And today, I want to just kind of say it again to connect to last week and to connect to our life. There's three kinds of relationships that we would like to grow into. And when I say we, I mean you. We would like you and everyone in this room to grow into. Three kinds of relationships that if you will invest in them, will pretty much guarantee the Holy Spirit's participation in your life in accomplishing our vision of making disciples. Three kinds of relationships. The first kind is with the lost and with the hurting. We want everyone in here to very intentionally walk into the messes of other people's lives. The people who are lost, who are trying to find their way. The people who are hurting. We want everyone in here also to have relationships with other believers. Other people who have signed on and sold out to the salvation of Christ and living the life of Christ. We want every single one of you in intimate friendship with other believers. And then we also have another kind of relationship we want everyone in here to grow into and to search out. And that is a relationship with some sort of spiritual guide. And really, it'd be better to say guides, because it's going to take a team of guides for each of us, for all of us to be in the kind of atmosphere that God wants us to be in. Now, the reason we want you to grow into relationship with people who are hurting, okay, the reason we want that is because we are called by God to win those people to Christ, who can heal them, who can save them, who can address them, and move them into the most abundant life available to them. God wants to use you to deliver that to them. The other kind of relationship is with other believers. That is so that you can also be built up in this belief and life that you have in Christ. And that comes by, that's why God put us in groups. That's why churches exist at all. If you go back to the New Testament, He put us in groups, in community. No one's to run solo, because no one can run solo. It goes back to the very beginning of creation. It is not good for you to be alone. And particularly in your life in Christ, we're here together to do it together. It's really great news. And then finally, we want you to be in relationship with spiritual guides. By that I mean coaches, mentors, trainers. Why? So that you can be equipped to live out Christ's mission. I mean, think about it. These first two relationships, if Christ wants you in relationship with people who are lost, and then to win them to Christ, it'd be good to know how to do that, huh? It'd be good to know how to do relationships and how to win them to Christ. If He wants you in relationships with other believers so that you can mutually be built up into Christ, it'd be good to know how, wouldn't it? How to get in relationship with other believers and how to build one another up in the faith in Christ. So, this is why we want spiritual guides. We want relationships with people who maybe are a few steps ahead of us in different areas of our walk, in different areas of our disciple-making walk. And it's this last one that I want to focus on today. I want to focus on you putting yourself in a position to be equipped. You equipping yourself. Just imagine if I dismissed us right now, and instead of you sitting here listening to me for 30 minutes, I sent you out with 30 extra minutes today to go and do the mission of Christ. Go and do what we are here to do, and that is go and make disciples through relationships. If we did that, if we're done here, close your Bibles and walk out of here and go and make disciples through relationships. Would you know what to do? Would you have the names of people to go to who are eager, ready, sent to you? Would you know how to do it when you got there? To the extent that you go, no, is the extent to which we need to do this as a church, and you need to do this personally. You need to be equipped. The good news is, Jesus came and he didn't just give us the commission and then leave us alone to do it. He equipped a team who he then called to grow up into that disciple-making life and equip a team. And then equip some more and then equip some more. And it's been going on for 2,000 years. But there is a part you need to play in your own equipping. And that's what we want to talk about today. Let's pray about that. Dear God, thank you. Thank you that it is your desire to prepare us for your work. Thank you, God, for Christ, who gave himself wholly, unlike any founder of any organization anywhere. Ours gave himself so completely that it cost him his life. So God, we want to honor what he's bought for us with his blood, what he's purchased. We want to tell people about him. Not only that, God, we want to grow up together in that message and in the life he gives us. And so today, Lord, we take a time out, take a deep breath, and we want to consider, God, are we putting ourselves in a position to know how? Are we investing in our lives to be equipped for the disciple-making life that you have called us to? In every way that this group is, God, I give you praise. I thank you with so much gratitude. I lift them up and thank you for that. And I thank you for the parts of everyone in here who has done that. In a way, even just making time to be here today is the part of them that is submitting themselves to training, to equipping, to inspiration and information that will make them into disciples that make disciples. God, for every part of us in here that is ill-equipped, that has question marks, that doesn't know what to do, and tempts us to say lies like, that's just not for me, the disciple-making life. God, we ask for your attention, and we ask for you to fill us with courage. Give us some guidance, God, on how to get spiritual guidance, so that we may live the most abundant life available to a human being, the life of making a difference to other human beings, in the name of Christ. And it's in his name that I pray. Amen. So if you turn to 1 Timothy 4, there's a chunk of scripture in here, about 10 verses, that I want us to just read in their entirety. There's a guy in Scripture named Timothy. You may or may not know this guy, but Timothy is like a model of someone who has found spiritual guidance. He is one who, for whatever reason, it was whether it was invited of him or he was proactive in submitting himself to it and looking for it, hungry for it. However he got there, he got there. And he got into a place where he was reaching out to the lost, and he was being built up by other believers, but he had a very powerful and strong spiritual guidance system in his life. And one of the main delivery boys of that spiritual guidance for Timothy was Paul. And so this letter of 1 Timothy is one of the letters that Paul wrote to Timothy while he was gone. He'd spent lots of time with Timothy, but now Timothy is still doing the work of Christ, the disciple-making work of Christ, and Paul is absent. He's going to come to him, but he's absent for now, and he sends this letter. And I want to read this section of that letter, because in it, I think, just jumping off the page are some of the things that Paul, his spiritual guide, expect of Timothy and call forth of Timothy, so that Timothy can stay grounded and founded in this life-giving life that he's in. So starting in verse 6, we're picking, remember, we're reading someone else's mail here, so there's some context here. But let's start in verse 6 and listen to some of the things that Paul is telling his, he's guiding his apprentice in this way of Christ. He says, "If you point these things out to the brothers, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus, brought up in the truths of the faith and of the good teaching that you have followed. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present and life and the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance, and for this we labor and strive that we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, and especially of those who believe. Command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, but set an example for the believers in speech, life, love, faith, and purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching, and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through a prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them, so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers." This is a powerful text, full of kind of context that we can't totally cover right here. It's worth the study. But three phrases leap off the page here that speak directly to Paul telling his apprentice how to stay in a position where he's being equipped to grow in the faith. Three things pop out, three calls to Timothy, for Timothy to do himself that will position him to grow up in this disciple-making lifestyle. Okay, and so that's what I want to deliver to you today. The first one we see in verse 7, where he says, "Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales." Then he tells them what to have to do with. He says, "Rather, train yourself to be godly." Okay, a couple of phrases in here that I want to kind of highlight. The first one is the word training. Okay, that is what Paul explained to him he needed. Training. You need training. I grew up wanting to play the drums. I loved watching drummers. I loved the loudness of the drums. Imagine that. And it just seemed like a very, I don't know, it was an attractive thing to do for me. And I remember asking my parents in junior high if I could join, you know, the band and learn the drums, and them saying no. I remember regretting that in high school when I'm seeing these other band guys and the drums and this stuff. They kept growing on me, and I went back to them and said, "It really kind of ticks me off that you guys didn't let me do that." And to this day, they deny that they ever said no, that they would never do that. I went, "I would be a drummer if you didn't say no. You said no." So to this day, I blame them that I'm not a drummer today. Now, whether they did or didn't shouldn't really matter, if you get right down to it, whether I'm a drummer today, should it? I mean, they might have had some say then, okay? But once I left the house, and really before that, I didn't have to just sit around being bitter that I wasn't a drummer. I didn't have to sit around. I could have got training, right? I could, and that kind of, so now, a couple things. Back to the word train. I'm not going to be a drummer unless I get training. Okay, if I want to be a drummer in 5 years from now, I should start being trained now. Okay, and in that training, I can then grow up into a drummer. Now, but this last part, this part where I say, this other word I want to point out, train yourself. It doesn't mean that you won't need help from anybody. It doesn't mean you won't submit yourself to another guide. And this drumming thing is why I brought this up. If I won't train myself to use the drums. As a matter of fact, Carrie got me a set of drums. She got me a set from a kid in my youth group back when we were in Houston. And I was so excited I had a set of drums. And I beat on them too. But it didn't sound like what I had heard when I was growing up. So they sat out in my garage and just kind of wasted away. Right? At some point, I can't go out there and train myself. Paul isn't saying train yourself. He's saying by the yourself part, take responsibility for getting training. Take responsibility for getting training. We have had education programs with most incredible information in this church for decades. And some people have never benefited from it because they never went. So our education team is preparing us by putting some people who might be a couple of steps ahead of you in some area, some disciple-making area, in position and in a classroom for you to be equipped. And there were some of you that will never glean anything from any of the equipping agenda, no matter how many decades we do it, because you won't take responsibility for yourself to get that training. And we're not suggesting that the equipping agenda we're running here is going to be enough. You're going to have to take more responsibility than just come to those classes. Hopefully they help you in some significant areas, but there are areas where we don't have any spiritual masters here in this local body. We might have to read books by spiritual masters. You might need to take responsibility for that. A group of 12 people this last weekend left Thursday night, got back last night. I got to go with them. A group of 12 people went to Dallas to sit at the feet of a great trainer, a great teacher in running and equipping small groups. And we have come back better equipped for this new small group season that we're about to get into. Some of them there that went there decided to initiate a small group because they felt equipped. So train yourself, he says. Take responsibility. Once those drums were out in my garage, I had asked the question of myself, or somebody could have fairly asked, do you really want to be a drummer? Because there they are. Somebody could ask me that now if I said I wanted to be a drummer. The question needs to be asked of us. We're here to make disciples through relationships. Do you really want to do that? Do you really desire church? Is this the team right here in Amarillo that wants to make disciples of Christ through relationships? If you want it, then train yourself. And look again, drumming has some value, right? But he's not saying train yourself as a drummer. He says train yourself to be like God. Train yourself to be godly, to have his heart, to have his mind, to have his agenda. Train yourself to be godly. He even goes on and says, for physical training is of some value, but godliness, church, godliness. I mean, if you're going to train yourself in something, a lot of you have trained yourself to do a lot of things. But if you want to train yourself in something that really, really matters, godliness is the thing to pick. And if you're going to take a regimen of training, this is it. Why? Because physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things. No matter what you end up doing, even drumming, train yourself in godliness is going to be useful for what position that puts you in with people. And it says, has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. But he doesn't just say that. There's three yourself statements here that I see Paul telling Timothy. And that's the part I'm wanting to look at for you, is the part you need to do yourself. So after he says, train yourself, in verse 13 says this. Paul says, Timothy, until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching, and to teaching. Okay, now I put up here, devote yourself to kingdom work. And let me add, devote yourself to your kingdom work. Okay? You have a kingdom work that is designed for you to participate in. You have a kingdom advancing work. You have a role to play with people that serve people that help them become more like Christ. And will help you become more like Christ in the process. And I'm telling you, this isn't a beat down. This isn't duty and obligation that you need to do out of guilt. Just check out if you want to do it out of guilt. Because we don't want to make disciples of people that walk around doing what Christ wants them to do out of guilt. What Christ has for you, like I talked about last week, is the best possible life. And this kingdom work will set you free. It will not shackle you. It will set you free, your heart, your life. You will start participating in something much, much bigger than you and that matters in this life and for eternity. That's what we're talking about. So let me lift a couple of phrases out of here real quick. The first one is this word devoted. The Greek word prosecco, it means to hold the mind towards or to apply yourself to. Okay? Like it's a very sincere and intentional decision to apply yourself to it. And so prosecco, I'm not that familiar with that one. I just looked that up today. The Hebrew word for devoted is the word hesed. Okay? The word hesed. I don't know if you've ever heard of this sect of the Jews called the Hasidic Jews. That's where that phrase came from, that title. They were the Jews that were considered very devoted to the religion that God wanted of them. You know, very devoted to their practices. The Hasidic Jews. And I thought of that in light of this. And it's a little sad, isn't it? That the people of God, the Jews back then, the people of God, that there was a distinction between those who were devoted and the greater population of Jews. And I couldn't help but tear up a little bit that it's true today too of Christians, isn't it? In the greater population of Christianity, there are those that are the Hasidic Christians, the ones that are really devoted. We're all supposed to be, and we're all at different places in our devotion to Christ. It's okay. And we'll talk about that here in a minute. But don't you want to be one of the ones that would be called a Hasidic Christian? We're the ones that, don't you want to be a part of the group that where we could say we're the ones that really, really love this? When we meet, we love it. When we work with Christ, we love it. When we pray, we love it. When we're changing lives, when we're helping people become more like Christ, we love it. We are the devoted ones. That's what he was telling him. Now here, Timothy isn't just devoted to anything. He calls Timothy to be devoted to his kingdom work. And I want to make clear, this calling on Timothy's life specifically in his mentor apprentice thing, he knows what Timothy's gift is. It is the public reading of Scripture, teaching and preaching. Okay, all of those have to do with his work that he's called to, his ministry, his gift. That's his specific. That doesn't have to be yours. This isn't a universal call for everyone in this body to be committed to those specific things. That was his specific thing. But notice, it falls under the realm of disciple making. The public reading of Scripture is an interpersonal thing that he's to be active at, which is going to help people become more like Christ. When he preaches and proclaims the message of Christ, that is interactive with other people. It's relational. When he teaches, whether that's from a pulpit or one-on-one in his house or wherever it is, as he teaches, that's his calling. That's the way he's supposed to be doing it. And his mentor, his coach, his trainer, his spiritual guide said, "Till I get there, you keep on doing that." And he wasn't saying, "When I get there, you can stop." Okay? This is a coach. He's saying, "I am coming to you now, and I will do some more equipping and training and coming alongside you. In the meantime, keep playing the game. Stay in the game. Keep working it out. That's your training regimen till I get there." It's like when I'm coaching soccer for Jakin, and I need to go over and talk to a parent. I say, "You guys keep dribbling around these cones till I get back, okay? They're still being equipped over there while I'm taking care of something else. When I come back, I might change it up and do something else." That's all Paul's saying here. He's not saying once I get there, you stop. No. And the thing I'm just trying to say here, I'm taking too much time to say, is you are also trained, not just by being in relationship with a spiritual guide, but by doing the thing you're called to do. Just get going. Get going. Start doing it. I've told y'all before about the old Red Cross training videos for swimming. They get on the stools. You remember these old black and white things on, it was Channel 8, it was the public TV station in Houston, where they're swimming and they're kicking their legs. And they used to train people how to swim that way, by putting them on stools, until the Red Cross realized it's easier to train them how to swim in the water. Well, Jesus realized that from the get-go. He called those 12 guys into training relationships, and he put them in the water with him in his ministry to practice it. He sent them out two by two to train them, not because they were completely ready. How many of you, am I the only one, says, "I don't know enough. I don't know how to do that enough. And it stops me from practicing it." Paul tells Timothy, "You keep practicing it. You keep doing your job. don't neglect it, he goes on to say. Do not, in 14, do not neglect your gift, which was given you through prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands on you. One more little thing here to say. You might argue with this, that you can go ahead and get started in relationships making disciples somehow by saying, but I don't know my gift. I was sitting with one of our elders a few weeks ago at lunch, and he said, you know, I just need you to hold me accountable to finding my ministry, my specific calling in my ministry. He said this. And this was so neat for me because he's saying, I want you to ask me. I give you permission. And it was coming from his guts. He said, I'm sick of not knowing what my ministry is. I want to flare that up in all of you. Okay, I want you to be like him in that way. I am tired of not knowing. I want to find it. But let me tell you, this guy, in addition to being an elder here, doing his job as a shepherd of people's hearts, he's involved in two other small groups. Okay? He's doing ministry in the meantime. He's facilitating a small group with a group of guys. He started another one that meets like once a month about specifically on some specific spiritual discipline. They're equipping each other. And still, he's looking for his ministry, but he's out there doing ministry. That's what we're supposed to be. In that context of practicing discipleship, somehow God shows up and trains us in discipleship. And so finally, verse 15, the last yourself coaching here that I see is in verse 15. It says, be diligent in these matters, he tells Timothy. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Have you given yourself wholly to Christ? Like really? Have you evaluated your heart, and maybe do so regularly, and asked yourself and committed to God, here it is. My life is yours. The bad news is if you do that, your life will change dramatically for the rest of your life. The good news is he takes full responsibility for your care. Full, when you do it. That's the good news. Have you given yourself wholly to anything? Most of us have. We're capable of it. We know how to give ourselves wholly to something. We are just called, as followers of Christ, to do so with Christ. That is what he's after, and that's what we're after. Jerry reminded me on this trip. He was with me on this trip. He was one of the 12 out there at Dallas, and he reminded me of the contribution of the chicken and the pig to breakfast, right? The chicken contributes. The pig is wholly invested in breakfast. Yeah. The chicken can't, like, celebrate too much because lunch is coming, right? But that's the difference. Are you wholly invested in our vision of making disciples? Some of you are saying, man, it's not for me. That's not how I am. Yes. It is for you. And it may not be how you are, but it is how he's trying to transform you. Yes, it is. And I want you to notice one last thing, just one little word of encouragement here, that it's progress that he says everyone will see. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Give yourself, not perfection, hear me? Not perfection. You don't like go in the water, come out, and boom, you're making disciples. It's never an expectation in Scripture. It's never an expectation on you, but you use that ill-equipped and I'm not perfect as your reason for not getting involved. It is your weakness that you can use to have the most powerful ministry. It's the most backward thing. But praise God, because it qualifies all of us for ministry. He says it overtly, Paul does in another letter. When we are weak, he is strong. So it is for your progress. Tomorrow, you do not need to be perfect. Tomorrow, you should have progressed. Next year, you won't need to be perfect. Next year, you should have progressed. And that will happen if you submit yourself to to spiritual guidance. Go to the seminars. Read the books. Get in the Word and get to know Jesus, the Master Equipper. Spend time in these classes if you can get in. And if not, you be diligent about getting in when you can. And calling up people who are ahead of you in areas and saying it specifically. Could you mentor me in how to pray? Could you mentor me in how to read Scripture? Hey, could you mentor me in how to bring up Christ naturally in relationships that I am already in? Hey, would you mentor me, coach me, train me in how to create an atmosphere in my house, in my basement, in my kitchen, over the lunch table at Blue Sky? Create an atmosphere where people are invited to become more like Christ, where people seem to want to have the best possible life that we're talking about. Would you train me in that? Because that sounds really attractive to me. You train yourself, devote yourself, wholly submit yourself to this, and that is your life in just a little bit of time. It is guaranteed. Don't train yourself. Mashburn, don't train yourself in drumming, and do not expect to be a drummer. But train yourself in godliness and expect, church, expect to become godly. That's His intent, and He wants it to be ours. Like our shepherds and their wives and ministers to just spread around this body. The reason we do this, by way of reminder, is because we are trying to make disciples through relationships. There's a lot of people in here, I'm looking at some, that want relationships. They want to help you. Like, they're sitting out here. But these guys, like, formally have volunteered and been seen as people who really already are doing that and want to do it some more. This is why we make them stand up in front of you and move instead of you stand up in front and come move. But these guys want to be in these kind of relationships. Whether you need to be like convinced and won to Christ, whether you need to be built up in the faith or equipped in some area of discipleship, these guys will help you or help you find who can help you. I don't know what you need this morning. But this morning, I just want us to ask that question and let Paul answer it right here. It's a great way to end. Why? Why equip ourselves? Why get in relationship with spiritual guides? Why read their books? Why go to their seminars? Why go to those fueling events? Why look at the Gospels and look at Christ as my teacher? Why equip myself? Why devote myself? Why give myself wholly to Him? Because, he says right here in verse 16, persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. That's it. This is the key. We become like Christ. We learn how to live like Christ, and we save ourselves and those we are in relationship with. That is the sum total of why we are here on this earth. That's it. And wherever you're at just the right place to begin the journey. Wherever you're at. Maybe you need to be immersed and initiate your relationship with Christ for the first time ever. Maybe you just need to go to somebody and say, I'm not totally afraid to get to work on disciple making. Whatever your need is, we want you to be able to come and respond to God and respond to this community in any way you need. And we will prayerfully discern how we can partner with you and move forward in this life. Let's stand, let's sing, and if you have any need, here we are. Please come.